Hello, my name is Sarah, and I am your chakra coach. On this podcast, we'll be exploring how the chakra system can help guide you to grow your emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual wellness, leading you closer to your highest self. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is the second part of an interview I did with Nicole Kerr about her near-death experience. Last week, we talked all about what happened and her journey towards remembering the trauma, beginning her healing, and some of the lessons that she brought back from the other side. Today, we continue the conversation about those lessons. So if you haven't listened to last week's episode, number 153, I highly recommend that you do so, so that this episode will make a little more sense and you'll get to know Nicole a little. She's written a book about these lessons called You Are Deathless. And I'll put links to that book and more about Nicole in the show notes. There are 10 lessons, and I think we only get to five of them because they're so crucial and each one of them needed exploration and processing. Ma'am, I guess that's what her book is for, right? I want to jump right back into the conversation. So just real quick, remember that you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Your Chakra Coach. And that's where you can get a lot of the most up-to-date info about what's happening with the podcast, my courses, and all that good stuff. I also have a Patreon page if you feel that this show is valuable in your life and you want to be a part of supporting its continued existence. All of that is also in the show notes, so check those out if you're interested. Okay, I think that's it. Let's get back to the conversation with Nicole about lessons from her near-death experience.
All right, we are back with Nicole this week. Nicole, thanks for doing this two-parter. I really appreciate it. But I just knew we needed to spend a little bit more time talking about these lessons that your book goes through. Your book, You Are Deathless, which, if I'm remembering correctly, is like the big lesson. You are deathless. Okay, yes, so if that's that lesson one.
Yeah, no, we don't die. That actually is. I mean, yeah. this is a science document from a company called the International Association for Near-Death Studies that has studied this. And that is the first lesson is we do not die.
We do not die. So when you say that, I mean, obviously these bodies that we live in cease to function the way that we expect them to function. And so when we talk about death, that's what we mean. But when you say we do not die, what do you mean?
Your soul, your essence. That is that, you know, when it's winter and you breathe out, you can see your breath. Okay. Your last breath on this earth, that is your soul, your spirit moving toward heaven, if you want to call it that, you know, and that is energy. And that is what lives on. And that is what I believe we've all come here on a journey to evolve our soul with love, okay? Mm-hmm. And that is a huge learning experience because we forget what love really means. And that's why I say when God is love, it's unconditional. And there's very few humans that can actually love unconditionally.
It's a challenge, to be sure.
Yes.
Right?
Like, yes.
And unconditional love is maybe the most difficult thing that we attempt as human
yes.
beings.
Yes.
Can I just clarify? So I've been thinking about this. When you say God, because I come from sort of the same Southern Baptist fundamentalist background that you do, I hear the word God sometimes, and sometimes I'm really like put off by it because I think of it as being this sort of like male figure in robes, et cetera. But when you say God, that's not what you mean at all, is it?
No.
I feel like that's not what you're no. what you're saying. So definition of God, haha, just an easy, quick one, if you would.
You know, I'm not going to be able to answer that for any of us. We're all on a journey evolving, and you're each of us has to have our own experience with what we believe the concept of God is. For me, that concept as of today has evolved into God is energy. There is nowhere God is not. Mm-hmm. Okay. God never was born. God never, or source. You can say source. You can say creator. You can say higher power. You can substitute. It's something greater than yourself. I did not bring myself back from the dead. Something greater than me did. Okay. So I have limitations with that in terms of a human. No matter how much I willfully did not want to die, I knew when I was up and this angel was bringing me up, I knew that as soon as I hit the ground from a human perspective, I was going to die. I knew it. And so that I couldn't will myself not to die. I couldn't will myself on the operating room not to code. You know, I couldn't do that. So that's that power greater than yourself. And that to me is this energy of this white light that encompasses everything, all those colors, all the music, everything. It's just brilliance. And it is, move around. It doesn't stay, you know, it's not constant, I guess is what I'm saying. You know, it's not a personal form of something to get attached to. And that's why I called it the vending machine concept of God, the way I grew up. You put in the right behavior and you were going to get your reward. Okay. Huh. Except I was a good girl. I did this. I punched the Coca-Cola button and guess what? A Mountain Dew came out. That's not what I wanted, you know, or nothing came out. Where is the evidence of God, you know, working in my life? I prayed so hard for this and nothing happened. You know, I was sexually abused. Why didn't anybody help me? Why did God let that happen? You know, there's so many questions that people have about that. And it's like, well, that's because God is not a vending machine. It's not some person or form or thing that you're asking. It's a vibrational energy of love, and you just immersed in it and feel it and you're one with it.
So when you say something,
your human body.
Yes. So when you say something that's higher than yourself, it's not just higher than yourself. It is also yourself. You know, we are a part of whatever it is that's higher. We are not lower beings, and there's not like a higher being. Yes. And then when you talked about angels on the last episode, those are also just other beings made of the same stuff that you are. I feel like that's kind of what you're saying. I also feel like listening to you and watching you sort of try to embody the words, like your body, your whole like being, your body's getting into the description, because I think that so much of this is an experience of the God concept, of the universe concept, that our words tend to fail us. It's an internal experience, a knowing. And I think that when we can learn that lesson that you are deathless, I mean, which I feel like is, for those of us who don't have a near-death experience, it could be a lifelong lesson, right? Like trying to come to terms with that, because there's not like this moment of before you knew it and after you knew it in your body, right? So we're in the process of that translation. So when we learn you are deathless and can also embody it, then we too will have that sense of having to like try to push the information, the energy out with our bodies and not just with our voices, which has really been fun. So first lesson, you are deathless. I know your book has 7 lessons. Is that, am I remembering correctly?
10. There's 10.
10 lessons. Oh my goodness. That's great. 10 lessons. So without going through all 10, so you are deathless, right? Obviously that's big. And ask for help. We talked about that before. Ask those beings for help. Would you share with us a couple of the other lessons that you think are just absolutely, and we are connected. That's the other one that you mentioned. We are connected.
Yes. Everything and everyone is connected. You are never alone. I think you have to differentiate between alone and feeling lonely. Okay. I lived alone for 20 years. Okay. I didn't meet and marry my husband until I was 40 years old. And so my accident happened at 19. So for 20 years, you know, I didn't even have a pet during that time. It was just me. And so I know what being alone and feeling lonely is. But when I say we are never alone, even when you pass, the spiritual realm is coming in to help guide you with your transition. Your deceased loved ones, mm-hmm. you start coming in. The angels come in. They are always there, and they come into, they are there when you make your transition. You're not going to be alone. Now, you're not going to have maybe a physical person in your family. And that's a lot of what happened with COVID, is the human family member couldn't be there when their loved one passed. And I understand, because we are human and we are spiritual, that you still, you know, I don't want people to misunderstand me. You still have to experience the emotions of someone passing, because we're human. So the grief, the pain, the loss, but in the
all
bigger
the signs
context,
that we love deeply.
Yeah. Right?
That's what those are.
Yes. But in the greater context, that person is in a whole different dimension. Okay. And they don't need you there physically anymore. It's more about you wanting to be there for them. And that's the hard part.
Yeah. You know, and completely understandable.
Yes. Right? Yes.
And normal and expected and healthy and good. Yes. But I see, like, from the other side, when you got to the other side, when they arrive at the other side or make that transition, they do not feel alone in that moment. Is that?
They're not. They're never alone.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. That, I think that's really comforting, actually.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And you will see people toward the end, they'll like grasp at things, or they'll go, you know, they'll talk about, hi, mom, or they're having another conversation with somebody else, and people will go, that's crazy. Why is she talking like that? They're going in and they're crossing over the veil, and then they're coming back into their body, and then they're crossing back and coming back into their human body. So they're not hallucinating for the most part. Okay. They really are getting closer and closer and seeing that whole realm coming in to support them on their way over. And it's very comforting to them.
Yeah, I can imagine. And I think that we can, along with feeling our grief and sometimes anger and all of those emotions that we feel around, you know, the death of a loved one, you know, hopefully we can also, and I think what you're saying is different than when people say things like, oh, they're in a better place now, right? And while that might be true, yeah. that's not really a helpful thing to say. I think what you're saying right. is that there's peace and there's love and there's comfort, and there's also grief and pain, and that people on the other side also understand what we're going through, right? Like, we're not separated as much as we think at that moment, but that doesn't necessarily mean we shouldn't grieve, and that doesn't mean that they are alone. I don't know. Now I'm having trouble putting things into words.
Well, they're in a place of absolute, I mean, think about it. If you're in an absolute place of beauty, of light, of loving kindness, you know, there's no pain, there's no suffering. You're seeing, you know, maybe your husband who had deceased prior to you. I mean, you're going to be filled with joy. You're not going to be focused on the people that you just left, you know? So we have to be here, and we have to comfort. That's why we need each other, to comfort yeah. ourselves. But they have already, their spirit is already, you know, it's gone and it is free. And they're not constrained by any of the lower vibrations that humans are having to deal with.
Mm-hmm. And we should deal with them, right? I think that those
yes,
are the signs.
I mean, that's because we are human. We have
human
to do that.
Yeah. yeah. And I think in certain ways we want to, right? I want to grieve those that I love.
Of course. Of yeah. course. I mean, that is natural, you know? And, but I think when we know the true context of the bigger picture, it enables us to live a happier life and to prepare for our own graceful passing and to support others as they approach their own transition, you know?
And we can live with less fear, maybe not no fear, but less fear. Is that sort of, I feel like that's one of the things that you're trying to communicate with your book, is that we can live with less fear of these. So we are never alone is another big lesson. What's another one?
Okay. We are not judged.
Oh, let's talk about that. Because yeah. I feel like a lot of people think that we are.
Yep. I'm telling you, you think you may have made a mistake or something. It's not there. It never happened. You don't remember. It's nothing. You're not judged. And I think Jesus even said, judge not lest you be judged, right? God is not up there, or there's not people judging you. It's what we are doing to ourselves here.
So we're judging each other here, and we think that that sort of
what's going to happen,
vibrational
yes.
experience yes. is going to continue
yeah.
in the it next doesn't. Realm, in the next dimension. And you're saying that is just almost yeah. laughable. It just doesn't even exist. Nobody even thinks about it.
Yeah, because God is like love, pure, non-judgmental love. And I think that's where we kind of get hooked into the human, is love has an element of judgment to it in our lives here as humans. And when I crossed over in that state where I was in, it's not that I had suddenly been forgiven for my mistakes. It's just that they no longer existed. Okay. Nothing I had done on earth was being weighed or measured. It simply was my story that had played out in one realm.
That's so fascinating, because I think a lot of us are taught that we need to spend our lives sort of begging for forgiveness from this great being in the sky, because there's a list, it's on your permanent record,
yes.
of all the things that you've done wrong. And there is no judgment teaches us that that's a earthly concept. We don't have to,
exactly
we can live
right.
without fear. And I think also that doesn't mean that we should just feel free to behave however we want to and treat other people badly, right? Like it all works together, because how could we treat others badly if we're all connected?
Because as you get to know you and love you, you would never want to do that.
Right.
You would want to be kind. You would want to be caring. You want people who are disadvantaged to be raised up. You know, you have a compassionate, empathetic, sympathetic part of you that wants to see a better world, equality for all, you know, that type of thing. You don't want to tear down. You want to bring kindness and love into situations.
So no judgment isn't necessarily living without consequence on earth, because there are still consequences to our actions. It's just that there's no sort of cosmic record consequence for which you will exist in some sort of hell realm or purgatory or anything like that, because those things rely on us being judged by this love God vibration, and that vibration doesn't judge. So therefore those things can't exist, because there is no judgment. It's a little bit circular, but I think I'm trying to understand.
You just said it. That's
okay.
Right.
Great.
That is a man-made concept of hell being down there and purgatory, and you're going down there, you know, that every spirit or soul, you have a baby or you have a child, right?
I do.
Do you believe that when that baby came out of you, it had original sin?
I do not. I was told that I did. Yeah. Well, we cleared that up before my child was born. And I was like, no, my child's not born with any sin, original or covers or anything.
And you weren't either.
Thank you.
And you know, when I say that, I'm like, how can you look at that beautiful, innocent,
bundle of perfection?
Yes. And think anything bad, you know?
Agreed.
I mean, that is just BS. I'm calling that, you know, I don't care what you say. It is that, to say that, does it even make sense in our limited minds? Yeah,
the logic falls apart. I do sort of understand why. I mean, you said it before, like, these are all things that were designed to control people, right? Mm-hmm. So we use a judgment system here in this realm, on this earth, in these bodies. And so therefore, that would be a way to explain to people how they need to behave, lest they be imprisoned in the next realm, which would be hell, right? You can be imprisoned here. Yes. You can be imprisoned in the next realm. And so it was just, it's a template, right? And then, but it's wrong. It's false. And I think a false belief system. And those ideas are holding us back on.
Yes. And that's what this awakening time is about, is examining these false belief systems and where did they come from? You know, look at how many wars have been started in the name of religion. And you've got God is love, and yet you're killing, you're massacring each other, you know, and it's still going on, you know? Yeah. So this is time to start waking up to the beings that we were created to be, which are higher vibrational love, kindness, you know, all of that, and treating one another with dignity and respect and love, you know. Yeah. And it's not matter if they're what color they are, or I mean, that, you know, when I was pronounced dead, I didn't look at, I couldn't look at the paramedic because I wasn't conscious, but I don't care if he was Democrat or Republic, or if he was black or white or you know, Asian. None of that mattered. And it didn't matter to him or me. He was just doing his job and, you know, trying to save me. And I look at that and I think, oh my gosh, why can't we all just get to that point and realize we all bleed red, right?
Yeah, we're all... I know that's a tough one, because we are living on a planet where those distinctions do matter and they do have an impact on our lives day to day. And, you know, of course, that's the ideal, where we exist in a world where the distinctions are erased when they don't matter and celebrated where they do, but that we all have, you know, respect and love and compassion and empathy for everyone, not just those that are like us.
Yeah. And these power structures have to change, you know.
I think, let me ask you, would you say that's one of the other lessons in your book, is that now is the time to wake up?
Yes.
Now is the time.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
You and me and everyone listening to this podcast need to do our part in that by examining our own beliefs. Yes. So yes, now is the time. What do you think it is the time for us to do or think about or experience?
I think it's time to wake up and become the being that you were created to be, not who someone else told you you should be. And that's the path that I was on. I was going down a path that my dad told me I should do. And so many people did not become who they wanted to be, because they were told you couldn't make money at it, or you can't do this, or your whatever the reason was. And later in life, they get to 60 or 70 and they retire. And then they're just like, I wish I would have done this in my life, because now I can't, you know, I can't walk, or whatever the reason is. So it's time to start understanding and loving who you are. Quit shooting yourself, quit shaming yourself, quit second guessing yourself. Learn to trust yourself and know that your answers and your healing come from inside. Mm-hmm. And healing, like I said, you said earlier, isn't linear. You know, we think if we do A plus B, it's going to equal C. Spiritual health, which is part of the wellness wheel, is the most important part of it. But it takes us a while to get to that. We start with, oh, we're going to go on a diet. Oh, we got to work on our physical body. Then we got to work on the emotional part. And then you get to the alignment of your soul, your spirit, your body, and your mind. And that is what is aligning you to be able to vibrate at a higher frequency, if I can say that. Okay. And realize that your spiritual self is the one that goes on, not the physical. So to start spending more time, asking, here's a great exercise that Lee Harris, who is an energy healer, asks people, what does my soul want to tell me today? Just write that every single day at the top of your journal. And start dialoguing with your soul. Because growing up in Mississippi, all I knew about soul was soul food and soul music, okay? And that your soul would go to hell. But I didn't understand the concept of what a soul is, you know? And so I think we need to start understanding that for ourselves, you know? And to start questioning belief systems that we just took on. And they're not working for us anymore. You know, we have to evolve. And this is part of the evolution. And our children, just like they are coming in wired for, Wi-Fi TV and all of this, they seem to know how to do computers at 2 years old, you know. These kids are coming in and they're not going to settle for these old answers. They're going, that doesn't make sense, you know. So we have to be the bridge. We have to be the light workers from this old generation to this newer one and help it to be more in line with love and with kindness and more beauty. Yeah. Because I will tell you, we are not the only planet that has life on it, you know? And I do believe that our soul lives on and it can incarnate in different times and space. And that there are people who experience being on, you know, their soul was on another planet where there was love and there was, you know, like some of the movies we see that are just like butterflies and unicorns and all that
some
kind
sort
of
utopian society.
Yeah. And you go, and then they come to Earth and they're like, holy cow, what's going on here?
What have you done?
Yeah. Look at how you're treating the Earth. You're poisoning your rivers. You're doing this, you know? So I think those souls have a really hard time adjusting to the frequency and how to help here, because it's just such a shock to them how, you know, we treat each other, the Earth, our animals and things like that. So, you know, I think that there's so much out there that we don't know, and to just stay in this little narrow tunnel vision of this old belief system that you were raised in, it's not, you know, it's time to question all of that.
Okay. I have one question for you. Okay. One more question. I think I've asked 1,000, but one more question to ask you sort of before we wrap this up. At some point in the future, and we none of us know when, but at some point in the future, you will have one more death experience.
Yes.
And when you do you think you have really embodied all of the lessons that you are giving to us in your book? Does it remain part of a journey for you? Is there, do you feel like I've got it on lock? When you get to that moment, how do you imagine yourself feeling?
You know, I will tell you, since the book has come out and since I've been, I'm doing an audible version of it. So I'm reading it to myself and I still am getting triggered by some of it. So I know I haven't completely healed. It's always going to be a lifelong journey, but I know that I finally have dealt with the fact that I died, you know, and somebody wrote a headline that, you know, Nicole Kerr was killed, and I had never seen the word killed used, you know, because I was like, well, he did kill me, you know, and he thought he killed me for 3 days in the hospital. You know, they didn't tell him I was alive. So he thought he, that's what they said. You killed Nicole. And so I never had, like, that stunned me to see that in writing and used that way. But that actually was the truth, you know? But I just went through something recently where now I've gone through the fear of the dying part. And that was something that brought up the suffocation, which was my last NDE, as I was suffocating, my lungs were filling up and the needle they were using to draw the fluid off, it would just keep filling up. And so my doctor was like, and I couldn't understand what was going on. I thought they were turning my oxygen down and I was panicking. And cause I couldn't breathe. I was having a really hard time breathing. And that has been my greatest fear, is not getting enough air, not being able to breathe and suffocating. And something happened the other day and I had the worst pain right in the part where they stuck the needle. Okay. And I knew that I was getting to the part, it was the fear of the dying process and the pain in that part of it that I didn't want to go through again.
I see. I see. Interesting. And of course, we have no idea how it will happen. And so.
Yes. And I also want to say, we need to start changing the narrative around death, especially for our children, because in all the books that are written, death is usually viewed as doom and gloom. It's depressive. It's negative. And that is not the truth. Okay. Death in itself is not that way. And so other cultures, the body is laid out in the home for 3 days. You know, here we just like, oh, put it aside, you know, don't want to see it until the viewing or, you know, cremation or whatever is going to happen. But children die, teenagers die, and we need to do a better job talking to them about what death is really about, you know, and to tell a child who's lost a parent, usually those children will go up to the other parent and say, mommy, you know, you're not going to die, or daddy, you're not going to die, are you? And you go, oh no, I'm not going to, you're not going to have to worry about that. And your heart's in the right place trying to please them, but you're also, you're not guaranteed. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So it's more about telling them, well, this can, death can happen to anybody, you know, and here's what's happening to your soul. And you're going to go be with so-and-so. If I, something happens to me, you're going to be with Aunt Carol. Let them know so they can have some sense of predictability or control, you know,
some peace around it. So some information where they're not trying to imagine and fill in the gaps when they don't have all the information. So yeah. And I think you're right. There are ways that we could have these conversations at age appropriate levels where children can feel cared for and not in fear for their own safety around the concept of death. That's really interesting. Nicole.
Yes.
This conversation has been amazing. And I thank you so much. Thank you for sharing all of that with me, with the listeners, because I, like I told you before, I think this is something that we need to be hearing right now as a society. Your book has 10 beautiful lessons. We didn't even get to all of them. So everybody go ahead and get the book, because you're going to want those other 5 lessons. Where can people find, I guess, more information about you or the book?
The book is on Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's paperback and you can get hard copy, and it's on Kindle. And next year, hopefully March, April, it'll be on Audible.
Okay.
It's only $9.99, the hardback. Okay. So
dollar per lesson.
Yes. So it's well worth the $10.
Yeah, for sure. Know?
And it took me 13 years to write it. Okay. I put my heart on it, my soul in it. I was honest. I was vulnerable. It wasn't easy. I talk about an eating disorder that I developed as a result of not getting mental health. We didn't even get into that, you know, but there's so many pieces. And I will tell you, the credential on my name that means the most to me is BTDT. Been there, done that. And I think as many of you know, you want somebody who has had experience. Yeah. If you're going to someone for whatever reason, you want to know that they know what they're talking about, so to speak. I am
right,
on
and it's a
media.
Thing we'll never know about, right?
Yeah.
So thanks for coming back and telling us. Are you like, you know what? You were told you had a mission, and
that's And this is why
I you
back.
Believe that you are on it. You are on your
yes.
mission, and
yes.
so thank you for sharing the mission with us, and we can all start to do a little bit of work around our own physical mortality, but comforted in the knowledge that we have spiritual immortality.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you for your time, Nicole. I appreciate you so much. Have a fantastic day.
You guys as well. And it's been a blessing and it's been a privilege. And I'm in such gratitude that you gave me this platform and the time to share this. And I want people to know I came back to get this message out. It's a vocation for me now. And I will tell you, if you do this as a book club, if it works with my time zone, I will Zoom in on your book club and give you 30 minutes of my time.
Well, thank you so much, Nicole. All right. Thank you for listening, everyone. It's been an intense couple of weeks with this conversation. So spend some time processing, journaling. What is your soul trying to tell you today? And we'll be back again next week. Bye.